All right, everyone, we will get started with our media availability from today's qualifying. We are joined by our Busch Pole Award winner, Kevin Harvick, driver of the number 4 Busch Beer Gen X Ford. We will open up to questions for Kevin. Please raise your hand, and we will get a wireless mic to you. We'll go here to Zach.
Zach Sternhill, Polka Record and Front Stretch. Looks like you've got a lot of speed in the car, obviously. This has been a track where you've had a lot of success since you joined SHR. Is this the weekend that you think you can off?
We hope so. You know, it has been a really good track for me. And, you know, my guys and really the whole company know that we'd love to cross this one off, you know, one of the last two that we have of tracks that we haven't won at. So it's like you say, it's been a successful racetrack. And you know, the first race this year, we had a great car and the right strategy and jacked it up and the steering box broke. So, you know, it's just kind of been one thing after another like that. And tomorrow it's going to take a fast car, but it's going to take everything falling your way so that you can get the strategy right. So you know, restarts and pit strategy and all the normal Pocono things that you have to battle are still going to be the things that you have to overcome. But, you know, track position and starting up front would be obviously nice to have.
Additional questions for Kevin? Go ahead, Zach. Go ahead, Scott.
Scott Walsh from the Scranton Times-Tribune. Kevin, when you weren't here this morning, you talked a little bit about how, even though you hadn't won here, just constantly putting yourself in position, sooner or later you're going to kind of break those. Obviously, is this a case, you know, winning the pole that you're in position to possibly break that hex?
That's the best way to you know, to break those win streaks or whatever the streak is or whatever you're doing on a daily basis, is to consistently try to do it right. And, you know, our guys have done a good job. We you know, we scrambled today in practice and never even made a qualifying run in practice. So, you know, we worked on our race stuff as long as we could and never really felt like we got it 100% right. You know, we weren't bad. But, you know, I think as you look at that, you know, our car was pretty good after about lap 6. And, you know, I think as you get into the race tomorrow, there's going to be a lot of two-tire strategy, a lot of green flag strategy. There's going to be a lot of unique times that you pit. So keeping yourself inside that time limit of that pit window is important to try to, you know, fulfill that strategy and keep yourself up front. So we'll see. You know, I think as you, you know, look at the things that you know, track position has meant this year, I think obviously having that tomorrow would be very important.
Go to Jim and then Zach again, and then Bob.
Jim Hunter, Motorsport.com. Most people seem to have kind of ventured away from the PJ1 so far this weekend. Do you suspect that you guys will gravitate, or it'll see people gravitate more towards it during the course of the race tomorrow?
Well, watching the truck race, you know, I think it looked like it was pretty good in turn two. You know, and Kyle made some passes on the outside without it last time, so I got to believe that, you know, with the trucks running through it some and us on the restarts, you know, two or three laps and lap cars, you know, being on the inside and us having to go to the outside, it's going to get run in some. I still think the preferred groove is going to be the bottom of the racetrack. I think that the ultimate goal is to, you know, not have to be pinned behind a car to have an option of that second lane, and hopefully, you know, at least in one or two of the corners, it comes in well enough to be able to be equal to the bottom, which, you know, it's I don't think the race was where everybody wanted it the first time. I think it's going to be an improvement with the PJ1 on it, and I think as we go to the next race and know where we need to exactly put the PJ1, how high up the racetrack, you know, the entries and exits, you know, what those, you know, links are and shapes of the PJ1 as we put it down, we'll have a lot more knowledge after the race. So I think as you come back next time, I think you'll see more of a benefit, but I still think you're going to see a benefit from it this time as well.
Go to Zach, then Bob.
I have two other ones. So first, along those same lines, are you expecting tomorrow's race to look any differently from what we saw in June?
I think it'll look different. You know, and I think, you know, at some point you're going to have more options. It's just going to take enough people running up there to you know, to have it come in enough to, you know, to really benefit. And you know, I think that the restarts will probably be where you see it the most beneficial. I still don't think the preferred line is going to be anywhere but the bottom of all three corners when you're running by yourself. But if you can get up the racetrack and only lose a, you know, a tenth or two instead of 7 or 8 tenths trying to get around, you know, a car that's off the pace or 3/4 of a second slower than you, and you can make it work, that's a game changer and a step in the right direction.
And then with the plans announced earlier today for next year's doubleheader, with the race lengths and the lead lap inversion to start the second race, what are your thoughts on how that weekend is going to be structured?
I haven't had my phone all day, so I haven't even read them. I have no idea what you're talking about. I try to just focus on what I'm doing. I haven't read them yet. I'm sorry about that.
Go to Bob.
Bob Pockris, Fox Sports.
I know you, Bob.
Okay. Well, they ask us to do it, and I try to follow the rules when I
like that, Bob. Good job.
When it's appropriate. I wanted to ask you one more about the NASCAR did tell the Truck Series drivers, and they said they'll tell you tomorrow that on the restarts, no brake checks, and the second place guy can't lay back more than like half a car length. So, and they said they would start making calls if they need to. Is that something that they need to do? And is it something that, you know, will anybody change, you feel, until somebody actually gets penalized?
Well, usually when they start talking like that, somebody's going to get penalized. So, you know, I think for us, we just, for me personally, I just try to control. Every time I start jacking around, I screw up myself. So, you know, I just try to roll in there and do what's best for my RPM and my car. And, you know, there are some guys that are different than others that, you know, change things up and in different spots and this and that. So, you know, I think as you look at it, I watch qualifying live, so I don't understand why we can't just officiate that with the whatever it's called. The telemetry system, what's SMT. I don't know why you couldn't just officiate it from SMT, but maybe. The pace car runs a certain mile an hour, and you're supposed to be, you know, within range, whatever that range is of that pace car speed. So that's why I thought that was always the rule. So I think it should be relatively easy from SMT.
Do we have any final questions for Kevin? All right. Well, thanks for joining us again.
Thank
and good
you.
Luck tomorrow.
Appreciate it.